Radio Prague News.
The Czech president says a resolution should be passed in Parliament on the Armenian genocide. The jobless total is down again, and Czech footballers fly out to France. President Miloš Zeman, on a visit to Armenia, has suggested that the Czech Parliament pass a motion over the 1915 massacres of Armenians by the then Ottoman Empire and describe them as genocide. Mr. Zeman made the comment during a meeting with his Armenian counterpart, Serge Sargsyan. The Czech president added that he had referred to the massacres during World War I as genocide twice earlier. One of the occasions was during the visit by the Armenian president to Prague in 2014. The comments were then officially described as Zeman's personal opinion. Last week, the German parliament passed a motion describing the Armenian massacres as genocide, a move which prompted Ankara to recall its ambassador. The jobless rate in the Czech Republic in May dropped to 5.4% from April's 5.7%. The overall number of unemployed has fallen to just under 395,000. That's the lowest total since January 2009. The number of vacancies being offered through the National Labour Offices stands at around 129,000. That's the highest total since October 2008. The office expects the jobless total to continue shrinking in the coming months. Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek has said he expects the Russian government to refuse a move by members of parliament to recognise soldiers who took part in the 1968 invasion of Czechoslovakia as war veterans. The move to give veteran status has been proposed by three communist members of the Russian Duma. They said the so-called Operation Danube, the codename for the invasion, had been a preemptive move by the then Soviet Union to prevent Czechoslovakia moving into the Western camp during the Cold War. The Prague Spring reforms in Czechoslovakia had created unease in hardline Moscow. Leaders of the Czech coalition government parties have agreed that raising teachers' pay is a priority, but they're still deadlocked on what percentage increase should be offered. Party leaders met Wednesday but said they would delay a final decision. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka and his Social Democrat Education Minister Katerina Valachova have backed pay rises of around 10%. But they've hit opposition from Finance Minister and ANO leader Andrei Babiš, who earlier stuck at 5%. The Education Minister has put forward a Plan B option of 5% increases for each of the next 3 years. Teachers are amongst the lowest paid graduates in the country. Czech footballers this morning departed for France and the start of the Euro 2016 competition. They were due to land in the city of Tours, which has been chosen as their base. Manager Petr Vrba and his squad will be staying in a 4-star hotel converted from a 17th century castle. The Czechs' first match is against Spain in Toulouse on Monday. Spain surprisingly lost 1-0 against Georgia in a warm-up match on Tuesday night. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news. Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, Russian moves to reward soldiers from the 1968 invasion of Czechoslovakia have sparked strong reaction in the Czech Republic. We look at a Czech exile who's reviving a British custom with some bohemian touches of her own. And later we put the spotlight on Czech concerns about how Europe's single market is shaping up. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Three communist MPs in Russia's Duma have proposed that soldiers who served during the 1968 invasion of Czechoslovakia should be granted war veteran status in order to gain extra social benefits. The MPs said the aim of Operation Danube had been to suppress a coup prepared by the Czechoslovak opposition with the support of Western states. Rud Frankova asked historian Jan Adamets how he interpreted the initiative of the Russian MPs.
Before, I would say that this an initiative, a few MPs would probably want to use it in their political campaign to bolster national spirit and show that they care about former soldiers, now pensioners, who need financial aid. On the other hand, it fits into a broader discussion within the Russian society concerning the re-evaluation of the legacy of the Soviet Union and the Soviet role in the Cold War. for the Czechs, it's nothing new. For example, in 2014, the civic group of veterans from the Soviet war in Afghanistan erected a small monument in Prague Cemetery, Olšany, and the inscription said in Russian and Czech, and I quote, "To eternal glory and memory to all fallen soldiers, internationalists and peacemakers." These can be easily identified in Soviet-era newspeak, not only as those who fought in Afghanistan, but also the 98 Soviet soldiers who died during the 1968 intervention in Czechoslovakia.
So what would you say is the view of the general public in Russia of the 1968 invasion?
I think this position presented by these MPs, it can be said it's been a generally shared opinion among the Russians for a long time. This interpretation keeps on echoing the official Soviet propaganda, and it's only dressed up in new clothes. And it says generally that Czechoslovakia in 1968 wanted to break up with the Soviet sphere of influence and wanted to desert to the West. NATO would have established its bases there, and it was a threat for the Soviet security, and the Soviet Union had to defend itself.
You said that this initiative echoes the general view, but would you say that in recent years there have been attempts to make it sort of more official?
I think it's more about misusing falsified interpretations of history to explain current political and geopolitical situation of Russia for the Russian public. It mainly concerns the NATO expansion eastwards, and the line is, look, NATO wanted to capture Czechoslovakia in 1968, and we prevented it, and now it's more or less the same. And we have to take the firm position as well as we took it in 1968.
Has any Russian politician in the past officially apologized for the invasion of Czechoslovakia?
In the 90s, Russian President Yeltsin said that Russia cannot be held liable for the actions of the Soviet Union because these are two different entities. But he admitted that the invasion of Czechoslovakia was an aggression against an independent state. And similarly, in 2006, President Putin said that Russia has some part of moral responsibility, but no legal liability for the invasion in 1968.
Historian Jan Adamec there talking to Ruth Frankova. This Saturday, a Czech artist living in the UK is set to revive an ancient British custom in the suburb of Birmingham. Helen Bushkova will lead hundreds of people in clipping the church, a tradition that centres on the formation of an outward-facing ring around a place of worship. Bushkova will add a Czech flavour to the event, decorating the church in question with Bohemian pastries. On the line from England, the artist discussed some of the ideas behind the unusual project with Ian Willoughby.
As an artist, I explore and celebrate customs from mainly from Slavic countries. So for the first time, I've been looking into an English custom, and I thought it would be quite intriguing to look into this custom, a custom that used to happen here in Birmingham, and it's almost forgotten. Not many people heard of it. I think it will be quite something to bring this back to Birmingham and celebrate traditions with people, celebrate customs, and also try something new. I'm going to be making these amazing celestial crusts, which is this Bohemian fried pastry roll in vanilla sugar, which will be carried through a procession on a wooden plinth for people to later try. So I'm bringing new sort of, obviously I'm sort of reinterpreting this as an artist, so there will be, the clipping of the church will be sort of revitalized in a new creative way, artistic way.
So who will be making up this living garland of people at the St. Barnabas Church in Erdington on Saturday? Who will be taking part?
Anyone, really. Well, I'm hoping that the most participants will come from Erdington, where it's taking place. From Birmingham, from all places in Birmingham, people from outside of Birmingham, I'll have people coming from London. And most importantly, I will have my family coming from Czech Republic, which is fantastic that they can join me on this important day. It's linked to Mothering Sunday, and reading about custom back in history, young children who were sent away as apprentices to work in families, they would only have 1-2 days off during a year to be reunited with their families to return to the mother church. So these children will be reunited in their local church with their families, later on they would clip together. So there's a very strong link because I haven't seen my mother for a year now. So it's amazing that she will be coming here for this important thing.
You mentioned the connection to Mothering Sunday. Is there any other significance to the timing? Because I read on the website of this project that there may be some connection to the upcoming Brexit vote.
This is all happening 2 weeks before the EU referendum. I just want to say that this wasn't planned. I've been working on this project for a year and a half now, and it just happens to be 2 weeks before. But I think it's fantastic timing. I am definitely, you know, voting to stay in the EU. I think it's very important, and I think we need to stick together. I don't think separation would do, you know, any good. It never did any good in the past, and I think it's really important that this is happening now, because we can unite, we can hold hands with strangers. I want people from any background, any religion, to come and to celebrate this custom with me.
Helen Bushkova there, ending that report by Ian Willoughby. Now we turn to our regular feature Marketplace, in which I examine how Prague is pushing for the EU single market to be improved as a new industrial revolution beckons. The European single market is one of the achievements of the political and economic partnership that is the EU. But many companies and some governments now feel shortchanged over the delivery of the full benefits and are calling for urgent reform as a new digital revolution looms on the horizon. It's now around 30 years since the Single European Act was passed, aimed at creating free trade within the then European Community. The principle was simple. Goods accepted in one country could be freely sold in all. But the fruits of the European single market in both goods and services, in what is now the European Union, have not fully delivered. In too many cases, companies and individuals complain that they are faced with the need to hurdle different sets of legislation, value-added tax rules and registration demands in the separate 28 countries. The European Commission attempts to deal with some of those barriers by launching infringement procedures, but it says it's understaffed and the procedures are lengthy. There are estimates that the so-called non-tariff barriers to trade in Europe could be putting a brake on the continent's economy to the tune of 5 to 9% of its potential total annual wealth creation. And that's seen as one of the major factors eroding Europe's chances of competing with some of the leading economies in the world, such as the US and highly efficient Asian economies such as Hong Kong and Singapore. The European Competitiveness Challenge was put in stark terms at one session of the Prague European Summit, being held in the Czech capital this week to examine the problems, challenges and opportunities facing the EU. Christian Hedberg is the Deputy Head of the Cabinet of the Commissioner for the Internal Market, Industry, Entrepreneurship and SMEs, Elżbieta Biankowska.
We also established that there's a real challenge for European Union in terms of real economy competitiveness. Two key components, investments and a disappointing productivity development. On investments, of all the major economies in the world, the European Union is the only one which is still below the level of pre-crisis levels of investment. We don't need to have a room full of PhDs in economics to know that if we don't keep on investing, and some of the findings are dramatic. We have entire sectors of European economy where operators tell us that there have been zero investment in Europe in the past 7 or 8 years. If you don't keep on investing, if you don't keep on renewing the capital stock, if you don't at least invest the equivalent of depreciation, you know that the moment when output levels will go down will come.
And on productivity, a close relative of investment, the analysis does not appear to be that encouraging either. Christian Hedberg again.
You may all know the famous quote by the American economist Paul Krugman, that productivity is not everything, but in the long term, it is almost everything. Productivity determines the standards of living, and ultimately the influence of an entity, of an economy in global affairs. Now, in terms of productivity, the EU is falling behind American levels, and the rest of competition is catching up with EU levels. So if we as a community want to retain the kind of living standards that we have gotten used to, this is a problem that we need to fix very quickly. Productivity in the EU is maybe at 65% of the American levels. In the field of services, we are even below 60% of the American levels of productivity. So something needs to be done.
Mr. Hedberg says that the main productivity gap between the EU and US is not at the level of the biggest companies or the mid-sized companies. It's rather in the small companies where the real difference emerges. He adds that while in Europe the reaction to struggling companies is often to try and help them and prolong their life, the reaction in the more free market US is to let them go to the wall and let the resources, such as workers or capital, be distributed in new directions. For Czechs, one of the most poignant flaws in the current European setup is the so-called Services Directive. Pushed through by the Czech EU presidency in 2009, it was supposed to start allowing individuals and companies the freedom to offer their goods anywhere. That hope is, however, marred by a lot of national red tape, which makes that dream impossible or very difficult in practice. Tomáš Prouza is the Czech State Secretary for European Affairs and was one of the speakers at the summit. He was asked to mark the performance of the Services Directive out of 10.
And in general, on services, we're somewhere at, let's say, 7 out of 10. Now it's looking at, you know, specific niches, notaries. But in some countries, if you want to be a dentist, you need to pass an exam in the local language. And there are a lot of these small regulations that actually make it much harder for people who deliver health services, but other kinds of services across the border. So I think still a lot of details. I think on average it works well, but a lot of these special niches each government likes, so I think we need to open those as well.
Around 70% of Europe's economy is based on providing services, so the benefits from getting improvements here would have a significant knock-on effect. A substantial part of this session was devoted to the digital dimension, the use of digital skills by workers and companies, and the challenges faced by Europe in giving many of its non-digital savvy population the skills they will probably need for the workplace. It's estimated that around half of Europe's current population do not have the sort of basic digital skills they will probably need for future jobs. The mismatch in skills required and potential workers available is already being felt in the Czech Republic and much of the rest of Europe. Most experts agree that Europe already missed out on the first digital economic boom, from which emerged the internet giants such as Google and Amazon, overwhelmingly US-based companies. On the second digital revolution now in the pipeline, based on companies and workers making more use of skills and treatment of so-called big data and digital applications, many warn that Europe cannot afford to come up short again. With its high proportion of manufacturing industry, the Czech economy has a lot more to gain, but also a lot more to lose in this transformation than most. Tomáš Prouza, who was recently given the extra title of Digital Agenda Coordinator in the Czech government, says Europe has been slow to latch on to the possibilities offered by the new digital challenges.
We all know the statistics, how much money the digital single market could bring each year. But I think the key issue is that if we take the digital agenda seriously, we can once again start catching up. With all the innovation, with all the modernization of the European Union, we are not using the advantages digital offers. Unlike the US, unlike a lot of the Asian countries, and the train is, I'm not sure, slowly or quickly departing the station. I think we have a very short time to jump on that train.
The Czech Republic is attempting to revamp its education system with a view to the digital challenge. Though the state secretary warns that a large swathe of the population, people in their 40s and 50s, risks being stranded in the future with the wrong skill sets for the rapidly evolving jobs market. Some companies as well have taken it into their own hands to try and train those in and out of work for the digital market. US-based internet giant Google doubled its initial pledge to train 1 million Europeans to 2 million by the end of 2016. Among the tools it's using are a collection of videos on the internet aimed at imparting basic skills, and they've been rolled out in Czech for local educational purposes this year. The Czech Republic, as well as its close partners in the Visegrad regional bloc, Poland, Slovakia and Hungary, are, together with the Baltic states, among the biggest backers of improvements to the single market and action on the digital market in the European Union. They are joined on both counts by Britain. But the elephant in the room at the Prague European Summit on Tuesday was very much whether Britain will still be around to provide that impetus for the rest of the EU in the near future. That was another excellent edition of Marketplace, and of course we'll be covering Czech reactions to the Brexit referendum after the vote later this month. If you've got any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be extremely glad to hear from you. But from me, for Chris Johnston, thanks very much for listening and goodbye.